I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Irvine Planning Commission for February 20th, 2020, and ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Commissioner Nerschel is absent tonight. Commissioner Noland?
Present.
Chair Pro Tem Wong?
Here.
Vice Chair Pearson?
Present.
Chair Smith?
Here.
The record will show that we have a quorum.
Thank you. I've asked Commissioner Pearson to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be followed by a moment of silence.
Would all of you that are capable of standing, please place your hand on your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to staff, are there any introductions this evening?
No, sir.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda?
No, there's not.
This is a time for public comments, an opportunity for the public to address the commission on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Is there anyone who has public comments tonight? No public comments. With that, then, we'll move directly to commission business. Item number one is the minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of July 18th, 2019. Either discussion or a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve item number one, the minutes of July 18, 2019.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Pearson. Is there a second? Commissioner Noland seconds. Any discussion? Please vote.
Motion passes 3-1 with Commissioner Nerschel being absent. Commissioner Smith, did you actually?
Yeah, I did, actually.
There we go.
Let me repeat
what the votes are.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to vote no on that one.
Commissioner, let me repeat because I read it wrong. It passes 4-0-1 with Commissioner Nerschel absent.
Thank you. Item number two, minutes of the Planning Commission meeting of November 7th, 2019. Any discussion on this item? If not, I'll move it. Is there a second? I'm sorry, did someone have a comment?
No, I'll second them.
Okay. Was it Commissioner Wong or Commissioner Pearson that seconded? Just so, are you clear, Mr. Secretary, who say, okay. Any discussion on the motion? If not, please vote.
Commissioner Pearson. Thank you. Motion passes 4-0-1 with Commissioner Nerschel absent.
Item number three, the minutes of the Planning Commission meeting of December 19th, 2019. Any discussion or corrections? If not, a motion would be in order.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that item number three be approved. December 19, 2019 Planning Commission meeting minutes.
So motion by Commissioner Pearson. Is there a second? Commissioner Nolan seconds. Any discussion on the motion? If not, please vote.
Motion passes 4-0-1 with Commissioner Nerschel absent.
And lastly, the minutes of the Planning Commission meeting of January 16th, 2020. Any discussion or corrections? If not, a motion would be in order. A chair will move. Is there a second?
A second.
Commissioner Nolan seconds. Any discussion? If not, please vote.
Commissioner Pearson? Motion passes 4-0-1 with Commissioner Nerschel absent.
Thank you. That'll move us into public hearings. Would staff please introduce item number 5?
Thank you, Chair Smith. This is a zoning ordinance amendment related to the trip generation rates for retail development in Planning Area 36, Irvine Business Complex. Joel Belding, Principal Planner, will provide the staff report with Melissa Dugan, Supervising Transportation Analyst.
Great, thank you. I'll open the public hearing and we'll receive the staff report.
Good evening, Chair and Planning Commissioners. So we've been before you several times over the past couple of years with workshops about the overall development status of the Irvine Business Complex. And at several of those, the Planning Commission and City Council have identified a need to potentially incentivize retail and directed staff to look at ways to, number one, understand what's happening in the Irvine Business Complex from a retail standpoint, and then to identify any potential hurdles or roadblocks or impediments to continued development of the expected retail that's necessary to serve the growing employee and resident population. So along those lines, we've commissioned two different studies, one in 2017 to look at just overall demand within the IBC, and then which identified several categories of unmet demand, and then a second in 2018 to look at some barriers to continued development of that retail. There were a number of recommendations in those studies to look at. One included to look at the TDR process, the transfer of development rights, which involves development intensity values. There's a cost associated with that. And so one of the studies recommended looking at that as a way to incentivize retail by reducing overall development costs. And so we examined that. We followed on with a retail trip generation study, which is really the driver for how many divs, how many trips a retail development needs in order to be facilitated. And so we're here before you tonight with that retail study. And Melissa will be taking the technical portion of it. I'm here to answer any questions. We did present this to the Transportation Commission 2 weeks ago, came out with a positive recommendation. There was some discussion about what type of retail we expect to be developed and whether there's a true need for it. I'm happy to go into those specific details, what the retail studies looked at. But just to be clear, this isn't the city leading the way on retail. We're looking at overall development costs, but the city's not planning on developing any new retail on its own. This is merely potentially removing one disincentive for the free market to be able to develop additional retail. So I'll hand it off to Melissa at this point, and then I expect questions after. And just one thing, the reason this is a zone change is because trip generation rates were adopted into the zoning ordinance in 1992, partly as a way to regulate overall development within the Irvine Business Complex. So for 7 different broad categories, we have specific trip generation rates. Retail is one of those. And so if this moves forward with a favorable recommendation tonight, it will be presented to Planning Commission with the overall goal of changing what's in the zoning ordinance and thereby clarifying how traffic studies for additional future retail development is to be conducted.
Good evening. So we started by looking at what the trip generation rates are that were the basis for the DIV. Trip generation rates are established nationwide through the Institute of Transportation Engineers, and they publish something called a trip generation manual. We're currently on the 10th edition. When the DIV rates were developed, we were actually on the 3rd edition. It was back in the early 90s. So we wanted to really find out if that's still current, what that might look like, look at what's really going on out there and what could be right for the IBC area. So our first comparison looked at the current trip generation rates as compared to the 3rd edition trip generation rate. And we found that a lot of the categories had been changed or added, and that the rates of today are actually much lower than the rates from before. Again, those look at rates nationwide. They're actually conducted through driveway counts. So they would establish a type of use and actually go out and count the driveways and look at the building on the site and then divide the number of trips by the size of the building and establish a baseline. And what we kind of found was back in the 90s, they didn't have very many categories, so the rates weren't as detailed or exact or as close to actuality as today. And today, the rates, as I mentioned, are actually significantly lower. Then we wanted to look at the IBC. Because ITE rates are nationwide, we wanted to see how those actually were or were not applicable to the IBC. So we looked at a few actual retail centers in the IBC and compared the rates at the driveways to the rates in ITE. And we found that the actual rates we're seeing in the IBC are significantly lower than those that were found in the third edition. Then we realized that when we're taking the driveway counts, it doesn't actually take into account pass-by trips. And so a standard trip, you would be going from one location to a second location. For example, from your house to your work. An outbound trip would be the opposite, from your work to your house. If you're going to a retail site, you would still have a standard inbound and outbound trip. But what can't be accounted for through driveway counts are what's called a pass-by trip. And that means I'm on my way on the same trip, let's say, for example, from my house to my work, but I decide to stop at the retail center and grab something along the way. Then I continue my trip, and I go the rest of my way to work. So although you'll count me both an inbound trip and an outbound trip at that driveway of the retail center, it's not actually a new trip on the street. I would have been there anyway. And it would be the same thing with an outbound trip. That outbound trip would have already been there, but you'll still count me at the driveways of the shopping center because I am turning in and turning back out. We looked at some standardized pass-by rates. ITE does publish pass-by rates. They are, again, nationwide. So they're taking counts from all over the country and determining how many for various uses are kind of going in and out, but not new trips. And they establish that nationwide it's approximately 50%. We weren't quite sure how that would apply to Southern California, so we tried to look more locally. We found that SANDAG did a study of pass-by trips in the San Diego area specifically, and that was published back in 2002, and they showed an average for kind of the retail uses that we're finding in the IBC of 31%. The city of Los Angeles actually did something much more current, which was in 2016, and they found that in their city it was 38%. So you can see these types of uses do tend to have a relatively high pass-by component, and it's just what we felt was right. We did look at some of the vehicles as the distances traveled. We didn't do intercept surveys, but we did look at how far vehicles in the IBC had traveled, and we found that those traveling to the retail sites had gone much shorter distances than those traveling to other locations. We also felt that the city of Los Angeles was the most current and probably the most similar to Irvine, and therefore we're recommending that the DIV rates be modified to include a reduction of 38% to account for those likely pass-by rates. And with that, I'll turn it back to Joel.
So the request is a recommendation to City Council to enact this change. And just to clarify, this doesn't have any impact on any city fee collection, and it doesn't change the city process at all. The transfer of development rights, which is the 38% reduction, would be on that private transaction. It's entirely private. We're not a party to it. The Planning Commission has the authority to approve or deny the transfer, but we're not involved in negotiations, and it doesn't affect any city pricing or any city process. And so it's an incentive that costs us nothing but may benefit developers by reducing overall development costs associated with a new proposal.
Joel, does that conclude your report?
I'm sorry, yes, that concludes my presentation. Okay, very good. Sorry about that.
Did you put yourself to sleep? My goodness. Okay, we do have one speaker for this, Susan Sayer.
Try now.
Okay. Here I am. I'm here now. Okay. Good afternoon. My name's Susan Sayer, and I've lived in Irvine for decades. As whenever possible, I refuse to drive anywhere near Jamboree between campus and Main due to the horrific traffic congestion and parking deficit at local retail centers. I'm not really personally affected by increasing retail development in the IBC. However, I support the will of the IBC residents. Let them decide the nature of their community amenities. During the January 16th Planning Commission meeting, the amended development agreement for the Central Park West mixed-use development project that has both residential and retail uses was discussed. The chambers were full of IBC residents, at least 20 of which gave public comments. Few supported the amendments, but most spoke in opposition to project amendments, which included additional retail venues. The residents complained about the excessive traffic, which often made it difficult for them to access Jamboree as they had to wait through multiple signal cycles to leave their residential area. Residents complained about the traffic noise and exhaust pollution, and they also complained about the HOAs having to oversee the retail venues located in their mixed-use residential projects. A number of residents stated that they did not need or want any more retail in the IBC. The proposed zoning ordinance was created in order to encourage development of additional retail in the IBC. However, IBC residents may have concerns related to the development of additional retail in the IBC. I believe that Irvine's development notice policy should consist of more than notice to people and businesses within 500 feet of the proposed development project. It should include an opportunity for residents to provide their input regarding the project. The City of Irvine is holding a meeting with Irvine IBC residents regarding the IBC Trail Feasibility Study as a part of the IBC Connects program. Can the city also hold meetings with the IBC residents to determine whether or not they want additional retail in the IBC, and if so, what kind of retail would they like to have? Or could the developers be asked to hold meetings with the residents? Or another idea is perhaps the city can give notice to the local HOAs, who would then have the responsibility of letting their residents know about the proposed developments with additional retail, so that the citizens could participate in the decision-making process. Our general plan calls for robust public participation in the city's decision-making process. Let it be the residents to determine whether or not they want additional retail and the type of retail they need in their community. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Susan, you were the only one who signed up. Joe, did you want to speak? Of the throngs of people that are here, I don't see any other requests. So that being the case, commissioners, who would like to go first here? Commissioner Pearson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look at this in a technical standpoint where we are currently regulated by an ITE study that was in the third edition versus today being the 10th. I think a lot of things have changed over the course of time since that was published. Obviously, through historical data and the traffic engineering profession, they have identified that not all trips are trips to the location. The pass-by trips would be on the highways anyway. So I see this as a technical approval, and I understand Ms. Sayers' issues, and I think today, the opportunity for public comment on specific projects will be coming, and they will be able to be heard by us as they come in, and the residents would be able to voice their opinions on a potential retail project at that time. Today, I think, as a city, we're looking at an opportunity because we've heard both. We don't like all the traffic. We need more retail. You know, the evolution of IBC is going to be a lot more residential, and it would be nice to have those residents be able to walk to that retail component and not have to drive. I think these projects will be put under a microscope as they come to us, and I think that staff will be able to discern, you know, the actual impacts to what we're approving. So today I have no problem in looking at this, you know, with the idea that we need to update our zoning criteria. We need to bring it back into present day. I'm not sure how the city of Los Angeles looked at their study, Melissa, in that, you know, it is a large area with urban cores in various areas within the city and suburban areas. So, you know, I guess if you look at it, Irvine could be a microcosm of a much greater Los Angeles. But I have no trouble in moving with this going forward, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Noland.
I agree with Commissioner Pearson. I think the update is needed. And I just had a couple just general questions. Other than the pass-by trips, what do you think is attributed to the decrease in the trips, in the trip rate?
I think a lot of it is just that it got more specific. In the third edition, there aren't very many land uses. So there's kind of like specialty retail, which encompasses everything. So they wanted to take some higher, like retail, I mean, like restaurants are going to be a higher use than a large shopping center. So I think that they didn't have as many categories as they do now. It would be really hard to go out on an existing site and look at all of the existing categories, which is why they kind of have to be grouped together. But I think that's definitely one of the reasons why they're coming lower now, is because we're able to identify different types of those retails.
And on the IBC specific level, those trip generation rates are from 1992. Mm-hmm. So in 28 years, the IBC has changed into a different type of development area and employment center, and now one of the largest residential neighborhoods within the city. And so the numbers that were valid in 1992, when that was predominantly an office and industrial area, things have changed. So people are using that space much differently, and so that's reflected in our own local study that validated those sort of national numbers too, and the LA numbers.
Right. I like the idea that you went to three retail sites in IBC and you took those counts. So how did you choose those three retail sites out of the six retail sites in IBC?
So it was really looking at who provides a general cross-section of the type of retail that we expect more development, that additional development would basically replicate. So dining, local, neighborhood services, nail salons, hair salons, dry cleaners, those types of things that people need on a regular basis. We're not looking at furniture stores. We're not looking at Costco-type big box things. So the shopping centers were selected based on what we expect to be developed and what the retail market studies identified as things that could be supported if additional development did occur.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Chair Smith. I think this update is long overdue. When you're talking about zoning or numbers from 1992, it's very difficult to reconcile what's happening today. And even the study from LA 2016, I feel that's a little bit out of date. However, if we have data today, I would still say it's kind of out of date because things change so fast. But we can only work off our best data. And I understand this change is really to allow the developer have motivation, incentive to build more retail space into IBC. And Commissioner or Vice Chair Pearson already alluded to, we have heard from residents of IBC Yes, we want to have more retail. No, we don't want more traffic, and this is a conflict needs to be resolved. I'm assuming the retail going into IBC will be serving the residents of IBC. That will eliminate some of the traffic into the area. For example, probably a cafe nearby or something like that. It wouldn't be necessarily a grocery store that's going to attract people from all over Irvine. So I'm fine with this. This is a very conceptual change. I'm totally fine with it. I also understand the hard part will be next as to what goes into IBC. And as we have a resident already, or Irvine resident, I know Susan doesn't live in IBC, alluded to the resident of IBC should have some input to it. And that when that comes, I look forward to that. Thank you, Chair Smith.
Thank you. I had a different take on this, and I think it kind of addresses, Susan, the issues that you raised. I wasn't looking at this as much from an IBC standpoint as I was an overall city standpoint. This is, and we've talked about this many times, one of the only areas in town that wasn't developed to Irvine standards. It's a place where there isn't a school anchoring a village with a village shopping center and those kinds of things. There's no parks. And as a result, the residents of IBC are utilizing, I think, to a greater degree, the amenities that were planned to serve the residential core of the community. And as a result, those facilities for the people who live there are becoming less and less easy to use because people from the IBC are coming into them. And so what I've been pushing for a number of years is to find some mechanisms that would let the IBC, to the extent that it can, because it is a kind of a different animal, at least begin to morph into something that looked like some of our other villages. I know that the school issue, as an example, will probably never be resolved because there's like four school districts that crisscross that area, and that's a shame because I'd really like to see an elementary school anchor that area where the kids could go locally. But the one area where we do have a chance to make an impact is on retail. And if we can, people from IBC can, I hope, maybe a pipe dream, as I mentioned to staff, but I hope could be able to drive to their own market and not have to drive into Woodbridge or not have to drive to West Park or to Northwood to go to the store. And that would take traffic off of the streets in the residential core, which would be a positive thing for those of us who live in the residential core. And I would think a positive thing for the folks who live in IBC that don't have to travel 5 or 10 miles to get a quart of milk and a loaf of bread, could go just around the corner, maybe even walk. Something in urban areas that makes them vibrant is, I think, their retail component. My son's about to move to New York City, and he's looking forward to not having a car and being able to walk to all these restaurants and little stores and little markets and all those other things. We don't have a lot of that in IBC. And keep in mind, IBC's only half built. It may be all entitled, but we've got another 8,000 units coming, and that's before the RENA. And Lord only knows how many we're going to get, you know, when the RENA process kicks in. So anything we can do at this point right now to stimulate retail so it's ready when the rest of the new residents get there, I think is really to the benefit of the entire community, not just the IBC folks. Now, I want to turn to the city attorney real briefly on one issue. I would like to make a recommendation to the city council with the support of the commission that is in addition to this resolution, and I wouldn't change the resolution. would this be something that would be most appropriate to make as a separate motion, or can we just do it as a general comment that's attached to our passing, if I read the tea leaves right, of this resolution?
I think you could do it either way. A recommendation that goes along with the motion in one vote would be appropriate.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments from commissioners at this point? Whoever wants to make the motion, what I wanted to consider was asking the council as part of this action to also begin to explore other actions that they could take that would stimulate retail. If it has to do with fees, if it has to do with sales tax, if it has to do with parking requirements, there's a whole plethora of other things that could be done as an incentive to help retail flourish in this area, because it's still an expensive area to build. Yeah. There's still a lot of fees. There's not only IBC fees, there's transportation corridor fees, there are all sorts of things that go along with building in the IBC. And to the extent that we can get them to look at other issues, I'd like to make that as part of the motion adopting the resolution, and I hope that the rest of the commission agrees. And with that, seeing no other comments, I will... Oh, Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah, that brings up a question to Joel. If our traffic trips are being reduced substantially, does that affect the parking ratios of the actual facilities, the number of stalls that are necessary? Because, that is something, if we have to provide a tremendous amount of overparking, we could have other uses in that retail center that would overlay that parking. And I don't know, and that's my question, and maybe it's Melissa, whether or not the reduction of trip counts to an area, AM, PM, and overall day, has an effect on the actual usable FAR of the buildings.
So I don't think the trip generation would, and it's really center by center. Some are underutilized or have lower demand than what we would expect, and some have higher demand than what may have been anticipated. I think really what would be evaluated, could be evaluated, is looking at proximity to other uses. So I've had interns go ahead and they're just called intercept studies, where they go and just, two simple questions: did you walk or drive here, and how far? How many minutes did it take? So we know, I wouldn't call it scientific, but these are UCI students who we have to make work for. There are certain centers where there's a much higher percentage of walkers than drivers, and so that would be something. And one of the retail studies did identify the cost of parking and the amount of parking as one of those potential disincentives to additional development. So that would be one category that could be looked at as a way of easing things a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other commission comments? Commissioner Ohner, Commissioner Wong? If not, then I will close the public hearing and a motion will be in order.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that the commission approves the zone change to amend Chapter 9-36 of the Irvine Zoning Ordinance related to trip generation rate for retail development in Planning Area 36, the Irvine Business Complex, with an additional recommendation to City Council to review, look at other actions that are possible to assist in this issue to incentivize retail to move into this specific location.
Thank you. We have a motion by Commissioner Pearson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Wong seconds. Any discussion on the motion? If not, please vote.
Motion passes 3-0-1 with a no vote from Commissioner Pearson.
God, it says vote recorded. Yes.
You're voting yes?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 4-0-1 with Commissioner Nerschel absent.
Thank you. That concludes the public hearings and our business items for tonight. Are there any staff reports?
Just one quick note. The March 5th Planning Commission meeting is going to be in the Conference and Training Center just across the way here. The council chambers are otherwise occupied that night by the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem for an item they have. So,
FYI. All right. Any Planning Commission reports? Commissioner Wong.
No planning. It's not related to the Planning Commission, but Mayor Christina Shea is hosting the State of the City address next Tuesday. If you have time, hope you can all join us here. I'm wondering what the interactive goat display is.
There. Yeah. That's right. Any other Planning Commission reports? If not, we'll adjourn to the regularly scheduled meeting of March 5th.